We're going to start from Kuf Lamed Beis Amud Aleph. We're up to the sixth line by the two dots. So the Gemara says, Ad kan lupligi rabbanan ale ela b'machshirei mila, avo mila gufa divrei hakol docha Shabbos minolan. So again, yesterday we spent a lot of time discussing the concept of machshirei mila, machshirei mitzvah, right? How preparations for things may or may not be docha Shabbos, depending on whether you subscribe to Rebbe Eliezer or Rebbe Akiva. But what everyone seems to agree to, including Rebbe Akiva, which is of course the way we pass in the halacha, is that the bris mila itself on the eighth day is certainly docha Shabbos. And the question is, what is the source for that idea? So Amar Ula Halacha, V'chein Amar Rabbi Yitzchak Halacha, the Gemara says it's a halacha l'moshe m'Sinai. The fact that a mila is docha Shabbos, that's the din, it's a halacha l'moshe m'Sinai. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? Meisvei minayin lefikuach nefesh docha es haShabbos. The Gemara says, how do we know that pikuach nefesh is docha Shabbos? So the Gemara says, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah omer, ma mila shehi achas me'ivarav shel adam docha es haShabbos, kal v'chomer lefikuach nefesh shedocha es haShabbos. The Gemara learns a kal v'chomer from bris mila. If I'm allowed to be docha Shabbos, if I'm allowed to be mechal Shabbos to do a bris mila, which is on one limb of the baby, so kal v'chomer, if a person's entire life is in danger, kal v'chomer, I can save their life on Shabbos. What's the problem with that? The Gemara says, v'isal kadaita halacha kal v'chomer me halacha miyasei. The Gemara says, if you're going to tell me that the source that bris mila is docha Shabbos is only based on a halacha l'moshe m'Sinai, that doesn't make any sense, because we have a general principle throughout Shas that you are not allowed to derive a kal v'chomer from a halacha l'moshe m'Sinai. How do we know that? The Gemara says, v'hasanya amar lo Rabbi Elazar Akiva etzem kisaora mitame halacha u'revi dam kal v'chomer ve'in donin kal v'chomer me halacha. Rabbi Akiva, in a completely different context, in the Gemara in Pesachim and the Gemara in Nazir, was attempting to derive or to connect the halacha of a revi'is dam for a Nazir, which means that we know, of course, that a Nazir, one of the many things that a Nazir is not allowed to do, is to become tamei lemeis. He's not allowed to come into contact with a dead body. But not only that, the Gemara tells us that he's also not allowed to come into contact with at least a revi'is of blood from a dead body. That would also be problematic. So the Gemara is assuming that is based on a kal v'chomer. What kal v'chomer is that based on? That's based on a different halacha known as etzem kisaora. This is a halacha that we mentioned previously, where etzem kisaora basically means that the minimum amount in order for a person to become tamei lemeis, again, assuming that assuming that you don't have the entire dead body, in other words, the minimum amount of flesh or bone that you need to become tamei is the size of a barley. That's the din. That's the halacha l'moshe m'Sinai. So the Gemara says, if you're going to tell me that the source for etzem kisaora, in other words, the reason why I know that if I come into contact with at least the size of a barley of a dead body that I become tamei is based on a halacha l'moshe m'Sinai, and now Rabbi Akiva wants to take that halacha l'moshe m'Sinai and extrapolate a kal v'chomer from there to teach me that the nazir can also not come into contact with at least a revius of dam of a dead body, the Gemara says that doesn't work. Why doesn't that work? Because that's a violation of the principle that we just developed, that you're not allowed to derive or extrapolate a kal v'chomer based on a halacha l'moshe m'Sinai. So if the Gemara just proved to us based on this case of the Gemara from Sachem and Nazir of the blood and the etzem kisaora that you have no right to derive a kal v'chomer from a halacha l'moshe m'Sinai, then what right does the Gemara have here to say, oh, the source that I could be docha Shabbos for pikuach nefesh is a kal v'chomer from bris mila? If you're assuming that mila is the fact that I could do a bris mila on Shabbos is a halacha l'moshe m'Sinai, so then your whole kal v'chomer is going to fall apart. So the Gemara says, you're right. Elo amar Rabbi Elazar, asya osos. It must be that the real source that mila is docha Shabbos must really be based on a gzera shava. What's the gzera shava? Because the Torah uses the word os in the context of Shabbos in Parshas Kisi, so we know that Shabbos is described as an os, and Mila is also described as an os. So therefore you see that Mila is Docha Shabbos. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? Elameata, tefillin dechsiv bahen os lebche Shabbos. What about tefillin? Right? In other words, the Torah also says there's os by tefillin, so maybe tefillin should be Docha Shabbos. Now just by the way, parenthetically, that line is a little bit of a loaded line, because there are opinions in the Gemara, and again, we've mentioned this in the past, and we'll see this again more at the end of Maseches Erevin, that actually do hold that you're supposed to wear tefillin on Shabbos. But again, this line is obvious. Assuming, you know, the way that we pass in
Lahalacha. Rabbi, the oath in tefillin, that teaches us we don't have to put on tefillin.
So that's exactly...
That you can't hand to a fist.
That's exactly the Gemara's question here, meaning the Gemara is asking, the Gemara is asking that exact point. If the reason why you're telling me Mila is Docha Shabbos is because of this Gzera Shava of Os, so then instead of not wearing Tefillin on Shabbos because it's an Os, we should wear Tefillin on Shabbos. That's exactly the Gemara's question. So what does the Gemara say? The Gemara says, you're right. Ela Asya Bris Bris. Okay, we have to come up with a different Gzera Shava, the word Bris, right? Because the Torah uses the word Bris when describing Shabbos, also in that same context in Parshas Kisisa. And obviously a Bris Mila by definition is called a Bris. So therefore you see that a Bris is Docha Shabbos. So the Gemara says, well, that's not going to solve all of our problems. The Gemara says, Gadol tichsiv be'bris lidchei Shabbos. So the Gemara says, okay, but then the question is, why is only a mila bizman a docha Shabbos? We know that if a bris, for whatever reason, is not performed on the eighth day, whether the baby's sick or whatever, only a mila on the eighth day itself is docha Shabbos. The question is, why? If the reason why a mila is docha Shabbos is because of a gzeirah shava of the word bris, so the Torah uses the word bris when referring to the mila of a person over bar mitzvah in the context of Yishmael, who gets a bris when he's over bar mitzvah, right? So there are instances where the Torah uses the word bris as referring to a gadol, as referring to someone who's over bar mitzvah. So then we should argue that anyone who's getting a bris, no matter how old they are, that should also be docha Shabbos. So the Gemara says, you're right. Ela asya doros doros. We have a different gzera shava. The word doros, right? We find the word doros used in the context of Shabbos, right? In other words, by Shabbos it says l'doros sam bris olam, and by the mila of a katan, specifically meaning of an 8-day old baby, it says uven shmo. So we find those variations of the word doros. That's how I know that Mila is Docha Shabbos. The Gemara also pushes back on that. The Gemara says, what about tzitzis? What about tzitzis? Now again, when the Gemara says that tzitzis should be Docha Shabbos, it doesn't mean wearing it, because we know that we do wear tzitzis on Shabbos, which is a whole other issue, whether we should or shouldn't be wearing tzitzis on Shabbos, but we, l'maisa, we do. The Gemara is referring to the process of making tzitzis, which of course is a malacha, tying on the strings. So the Gemara says, but again, if the Torah uses the word, if the Torah uses the word doros in the context of tzitzis, why isn't the process of making and tying tzitzis also docha Shabbos? So the Gemara says, you're right. Ella Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, done in os bris v'doros, may os bris v'doros liafuke hanach dechad chadhu dechsev bahen. So the Gemara says the reason why Mila is docha Shabbos at the end of the day is because it has all of these three words written in the context of it. It has os, it has bris, and it has doros. And don't start asking me questions about tefillin and about tzitzis and about someone who's not 8 days old, because each of those only have one of those three words written in that context, whereas the bris itself of an 8-day old baby has all three of these words going for it. So this is the first answer in the Gemara. The first source that we know that Mila is Docha Shabbos is based on a combination of the words os, bris, and doros by Shabbos, and os, bris, and doros in the context of Mila of an 8-day old baby. Yeah, the question, wait, Danny, you're muted, I can't hear you. You're still muted.
No.
Other Danny, I think, had a question. I don't know. I'm not sure. Okay. Fine. So that was the first source in the Gemara. Okay. Now the Gemara quotes a second source. For Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Amarkra biyom afilu b'Shabbos. This is a much more straightforward source, and this is a source we actually touched on a little bit yesterday. The pasuk in the beginning of Parshas Tazria says, "Bayom hashmini yimol b'sar or laso." So the word "bayom" teaches me that the mila is even docha Shabbos. So Amar le'Reish Lakish le'Rabbi Yochanan. So Reish Lakish pushes back on Rabbi Yochanan's source. Ela me'ata mechusrei kapara dechsev b'hu bayom hachi nami dedachu Shabbos. So Reish Lakish says, "Well, hang on one second. If the source that mila is docha Shabbos is simply because of the word bayom, so he says, I'll show you another halacha where the Torah uses bayom that's not docha Shabbos. What is that? That's a concept called mechusrei kapara. Mechusrei kapara means that if you have a person who, let's say, was a zav or a zava or a nida or a yoledes, right, all these different kinds of tuma, so in order for these people to become 100% tahor and to be allowed to eat karbanos, they need to bring karbanos of their own, right? So until they actually bring that karban, even if they've gone to the mikvah already, they're considered to be what's called mechusrei kapara. They're lacking kapara. So the question is, in that context, in Parshas Tazria and Parshas Metzora, the Torah also uses the word bayom in that context. So why is that not Docha Shabbos? We know that Mechusrei Kapara are not Docha Shabbos because we know the halacha, the only types of karbanos that you're allowed to bring on Shabbos are, generally speaking, karbanos tzibur, or really more accurately, a karban chovasha kavua lehem zman, which means that it's an obligatory karban that has a set time. These are not fixed karbanos. These karbanos you can bring at any point. In other words, at any time that you become Torah, you can bring these karbanos. So the question is, but why can't I bring these on Shabbos if the Torah uses the word bayom in that context. So the Gemara says, no, that's not a good kasha. Hahumi boile bayom velo balayla. The Gemara says, no, the word bayom in the context of mechusrei kapara was teaching me a different halacha, namely, that I can only offer those karbanos by day and not by night. So the Gemara says, okay, hainami mi boile biyom velo balayla. If that's the case, so then we should just throw it back to the case of mila. Why are we assuming that the word bayom in the context of mila bedafka means that mila is docha Shabbos? Maybe all it's teaching me is that you can't do a bris mila at night. The Gemara says no, because we already know that. The Gemara says ahu mi ben shmonas yamim nafka. We already know that you can't do a mila at night from a different pasuk of ben shmonas yamim. So therefore, this pasuk of bayom hashmini must be teach me that mila is docha Shabbos. The Gemara says, okay, hainami mi biyom tzavoso nafka. The Gemara says, okay, but by mechusrei kapara, we also have another mention of the word bayom, which would therefore imply that not only is it teaching me that I can't do a mila at night, but it should teach me that also, I'm sorry. Not only is it teaching me that I can't bring the karbanos at night, but it should teach me that it's also docha Shabbos. So the Gemara says, you're right. Afal gav de nafka mi biyom tzavoso, it's shtricha. Even though we have this second pasuk of biyom tzavoso, we still need that original pasuk of bayom hashmini. Why? The Gemara says, Salka daita chamina, I might have said, ho will v'chas rachmana aleila asuye bedalus belaila nami leisei, kam hashmalan. The Gemara says, we already know that for certain karbanos, the Torah is relatively lenient with people who can't afford to bring the best quality karban that exists, where we have this concept where the Torah says, if you can't afford to bring the animal, you could bring a bird, you could bring a karban mincha, right? We find this in the beginning of Sefer Vayikra, where the psukim talk about how if you can't afford to bring the most optimal type of an animal, so then you could bring the lower quality. So I might have thought, well, once the Torah is already being lenient with our standards for karmanos, so why don't we be even more lenient? Let's let you bring it at night. Let's just, you know, kind of throw the book out the window and kind of let you know, just basically let you do whatever you want. The Gemara says, no, that's not true. The Gemara says, kamash malan, that, you know, basically that there's not a free-for-all. You can't just do whatever you want, that there are still regulations and still certain halachos that pertain to these karmanos. Okay. So the Gemara,
Rabbi,
yeah.
I have a question for you.
Yeah.
When we went to prove that the bris has to be done in the day, mm-hmm. We used ben shmona yomim, right?
Correct, yeah.
Yeah, but don't we always say, are they using yomim as the day? Because
yomim velo lelos.
Night is the week out, the night is the new day anyway.
That's true, but the thing is that, as we've already pointed out, that in the context of bris mila, the Torah goes out of its way to write variations of the word yom, yomim, multiple
right.
times. So you would think, if all the Torah was getting at is that, just give a bris mila, it, you know, maybe write the word once and that's it. The fact that it's consistently writing yamim, shmonat ben shmonas yamim, or it's writing bayom hashmini, so each of those words presumably is coming to teach me something. That's kind of the point of these drushos here. Okay.
Would we paskin that a bris done, let's say, on the eighth day, but it's done, we'll call it the beginning of the eighth day at night.
Well, that's a question in general, meaning even if the bris is done on the 12th day, but if it's done at night, so we assume that a bris balayla is not a kasher bris at all, even if it's after the 8th day, and then if a person for some reason did a bris balayla, again, we're going to talk about this in the next couple of daf, there's something that you have to do, what's called hatafas dam bris. Hatafas dam bris basically means you have to extract some blood, you have to do like almost like a second bris mila, which is, again, not usually possible, but you have to extract some blood. Okay, so the Gemara now asks, Maskeflo Ravina Ella Meata Yehizar Kusher Bahen Vihe Onin Kusher Bahen. Okay, so now the Gemara is saying, if you're telling me, again, that our standards are going to be lowered in these contexts, again, we just said that in the case of the carbonos, so, you know, you could bring the carbonos, you know, if you can't afford the regular carbon, you could bring the lesser carbon, you could bring the carbon that's a little bit cheaper. So now the question is, okay, so why don't we also lighten up our standards about who can bring carbonos? We know, generally speaking, that a zar, or in other words, a zar referring to a non-kohen, or an onin again referring to a person whose relative died and they're awaiting burial. So the Gemara is asking, why are those people not permitted to participate in the process of the karba? Now, normally, again, we know that an onin, again, leaving aside the kohen gadol for a second, but a regular kohen who's an onin, if he does avoda, it's going to be puzzle, as opposed to a kohen gadol, where he actually has to do avoda even when he's an onin. But in general, an onin is not allowed to do avoda. So the Gemara's question is: once we're lightening up the standards about, you know, the, you know, in other words, in terms of how much you have to spend or what quality carbon you have to bring, so let's also lighten up our standards about who can and cannot bring these carbonos. Why don't we say that a zar can participate? Why don't we say that you know, in other words, the Gemara's basically asking here not in terms of who's bringing the carbon, but in terms of of who's doing the avoda on the carbon, right? Again, normally a non kohen is the only thing that a non kohen can do in the base of hamikdash is shechita. That's a gemara in brachos, right? Normally and zvachim. But all the other processes after shechita, like kabbalah, holacha, zrika, all the things that you do with the blood of the animal afterwards, must be done by a kohen. But again, if we're so lax on the standards of these karmanos, maybe we should just say let a non kohen do it, or maybe we should say let an onain do it, right? In other words, even though normally they would not be, you know, be allowed to participate in the avodah. So the Gemara says no. Ha-hadre-kra. The Gemara says that is not a valid option, because the pasuk goes back out of its way to teach you that these karbanos are actually puzzled to offer at night. So in other words, the fact that the Torah goes out of its way to teach you that, by the way, these karbanos are puzzled at night, as we already saw before from the word biyom tzavoso, you have to dafka bring the karbanos by day, that means that these karbanos do still have certain standards. So yes, it's true that the karban doesn't have to be brought from the best quality animal. That part is true. But everything else about these karbanos remains the same. It can't be offered by a zar. It can't be offered by an onain. That's all true. And also what we saw from the Gemara before, right? We said that again, you know that there are still certain standards that namely that it also cannot be offered at night. So that's the Gemara's point. In other words, the only kula that we're going to find by these karbanos, by the mechusrei kapara, is the fact that if you can't afford to bring the best kind of animal, we'll let you bring something a little bit less expensive. But apart from that, these karbanos are still going to retain their regular status of a karban. Okay, so the Gemara now says, Rav Acha bar Yaakov Amar, Amar Kra, Shmini Afilu B'Shabbos. So now we have a third possible source that Mila is Docha Shabbos, which is not from the word Bayom per se, but rather from the word Shmini, Bayom HaShmini. So what does the word Shmini teach me? Shmini means it's the eighth day. It's always the eighth day, no matter what day of the week it is, including Shabbos. So the Gemara says, why is that a valid source? Hai Shmini mi boy le ma'ute shvi. The Gemara says, maybe the word Shmini just teaches me that you can't do a bris on the seventh day. How do you know from the word Shmini that it's also Docha Shabbos? So the Gemara says no, because Shvi mi ben shmonas yamim nafka. Because the notion that you cannot give a bris on the seventh day is derived from a different pasuk. That same pasuk we quoted before from ben shmonas yamim. The Gemara says okay. Va'akati mi boy lechad lemaute shvi vechad lemaute chi. The Gemara says, but still we should use one of those pesukim. In other words, the first pasuk of Vayom Hashmini should teach me that I can't do a bris on the seventh day, and the second pasuk that says mi ben shmonas yamim should teach me that I can't do a bris on the ninth day. And again, when we say can't do a bris on the ninth day, it means that ideally, obviously, if you didn't do it on the eighth day, you would still do it on the ninth day. The Gemara says, "Di'im ichad," because if I only had one of these two psukim, hava amina, I would have said shvii hu delo mata zmane, avo mishmini ve'eloch zmane. Who I would have said that yes, it's true the seventh is too early to do a bris, but once you've hit the eighth day, it's, in other words, everything should be fine at that point because you've already reached the proper time. So the Gemara says, you're right, Ela Mechvarta Kid Rabbi Yochanan, must be that the source that we quoted earlier of Rabbi Yochanan is the correct source, namely that the word Bayom teaches me Afilu B'Shabbos. That must be the source that Mila ultimately is Docha Shabbos. Okay, and the Gemara, in fact, supports this. The Gemara says, Tanya Kivasei de Rabbi Yochanan, Udelo Kirav Acha Bar Yaakov. The Gemara says, I'm going to bring you a brisa that supports Rabbi Yochanan's position specifically, Shmini Yimol Afilu B'Shabbos. Again, that same pasuk that we just quoted of Bayom HaShmini teaches me that Mila is Docha Shabbos. The question, of course, is, but isn't there a pasuk in Parshas Kisisa that says that if a person is Mechal Shabbos B'meizah, they're Chayav Misa, they're Chayav Skila for that? So when you do a Bris Mila, you're drawing blood, you're in violation of a Malacha. How is that going to be Mutter? The Gemara says, no, that must mean Bishar Malachos Chutz Mila. That pasuk in Kisisa that says that if I'm Mechal Shabbos B'meizah, that I'm Chayav Skila, that must be referring to other Malachos apart from Bris Mila. So the Gemara says, okay, O Eno Ela Afilu Mila. How do you know that? Maybe the pasuk also means bris mila. If you do a bris mila on Shabbos, you're also going to be chayiv skila for that. And the Gemara says umani mekayim shmini imochot mishabbos. And I would argue that maybe the word shmini means you can give a bris on the eighth day unless it's on Shabbos. That's not such a crazy thing to say. The Gemara says no, it's not true. Talmud lomar biyom afilu b'Shabbos. Comes the Gemara and says we derive from the word bayom that a bris mila is docha Shabbos under all circumstances. Again, if it's on the eighth day. So the Gemara says Amar Rava. So Rava wants to know, what exactly, why was the Tana okay in the beginning? In other words,
how come initially the Gemara was very comfortable saying, oh, Shmini, you know, in other words, Bayom HaShmini means even on Shabbos, and Mechal Aleha, most Yumas, is excluding Bris Mila, and, you know, and everyone agrees that a Mila on the eighth day is Docha Shabbos, and then all of a sudden the Gemara starts kind of hedging a little bit, and kind of, you know, hemming and hawing, oh, maybe it's not, maybe, you know, maybe the Pasuk is excluding Mila, maybe really you are Chayav Misa for giving Mila, like, what was the Gemara's hesitation there? So the Gemara says, Hachi Ka'amar, Shmini Yimol Afilu B'Shabbos, Umo Ani Mekai Mechal Aleha, most Yumas B'Shar Malachos Chutz Mi Mila, Avo Mila Dachya. So the Gemara says again, when the Torah says don't do malacha on Shabbos, and if you do, you're going to be chayav skila, that's referring to malachos aside from bris mila. So the question is, how do I know that mila is docha Shabbos? My time a kal v'chomer, who must be based on the following kal v'chomer. Umat sara'as shedocha es ha'avoda, fa'avoda docha es ha'Shabbos, mila docha osa, Shabbos shenirches mipnei ha'avoda, ain't no din shetehe mila docha. So this can sound like a little bit of a confusing kal v'chomer, but basically what the Gemara is saying is the following, is that saras is docha avoda. What does that mean that saras is docha avoda? If a Kohen has saras, he is not permitted to perform avoda in the Beis HaMikdash. Now again, the Gemara in a little bit is going to give a possibly different explanation for why that is, but at least at this stage in the Gemara thinks that the reason for that is presumably because the state of being a mitzora, it, you know, almost overrides the mitzvah of doing avoda. So saras is more severe or is more chamur than avoda, and avoda, we know, to a certain degree, is also docha Shabbos. As we pointed out before, certain karbanos are offered on Shabbos. So it's kind of like, you know, if, you know, A is greater than B and B is greater than C, so that, and also Mila is docha Shabbos, right? So in other words, at this stage in the Gemara, it seems like Shabbos is the least severe of the four things that we're talking about. Between Sara'as, Avoda, Mila, and Shabbos, you get the impression that Shabbos is the least chamor. Why? Because Sara'as is docha Avoda, because again, a Kohen who has Sara'as can't do Avoda. Avoda is docha Shabbos because we bring certain karbanos on Shabbos, and Mila is docha Shabbos because Mila is on the eighth day is done on Shabbos. So then the Gemara says, I would say kal v'chomer that Shabbos, which is pushed aside for Avoda, because again, you bring certain karbanos on Shabbos, then I would say that certainly shetehim Mila docha osa. I would say that bris Mila, which seems to be the most severe or the greatest of the four things that we just mentioned, should certainly be docha tsaras. That would be the kal v'chomer that the Gemara is suggesting. However, the Gemara says, "Umay o eno de ka'amar." So then the Gemara asks, what was the alternative? Why did the Gemara think that maybe this argument was not a valid one? The Gemara says, "Because hadar amar." Because then the Gemara retracted and said, "Umimay did saras chamura." How do you know that saras is really so much more chamur than Shabbos? Dilma Shabbos chamura shekein yeshba onshin va'az haros harbe. The Gemara says maybe Shabbos. In fact, if you, in other words, logically, I would have said this. You know, more. In other words, I would think that this pshat is actually more correct than the first pshat. Namely, that Shabbos is more severe than Saras. Why? Because violating Shabbos carries with it a chiyas skila. Saras, you know, if you, as we'll see in a second, if you cut your Saras off your skin, okay, so you violated a lot. You get malchus for that. But it's not nearly as severe as chil Shabbos. So the Gemara says, "Umimai mishum da chamira tsarasi, dilma mishum gavruhu de lochazi." The Gemara says, hang on one second. How do you know that the reason why Saras is docha avoda is because Tsaras is more chamur, it's more severe? Maybe not. Maybe Tsaras is really less severe than Avoda, and the only reason why a Kohen who has Tsaras can't do Avoda is just for kind of a technical reason, which is that he's not fit to do Avoda. It's not, in other words, it's not to say that Tsaras objectively is more severe or more serious than Avoda in the Beis HaMikdash. It just means that a person who currently has Tsaras is not able to do Avoda. So if we only had
one Kohen.
Yeah.
One Kohen, and yeah, that guy had Saras, would we say that we don't do the daily Avoda?
Yeah, it sounds that way. Although the Gemara in Yuma, again, in a slightly different context, the Gemara in Yuma discusses what would happen if you only had one Kohen, he was Tame, and the Gemara has a whole discussion about whether Tuma is Hutra B'tzibur or Dechuya B'tzibur, meaning to say that Bazman Azeh, when we don't have, you know, when we, you know, do we say that if the majority of the Tzibur is Tame, does that mean that now I could let a Tame Kohen go up and do Avoda? But yeah, but in the case of Tsaras, there is no heter for a Kohen with Tsaras to do Avoda. So yeah, if you only had one Kohen, it would be, in fact, if anything, in if anything, it might even be an Isser Doraisa for him to do Avoda as a Mitzora potentially. So again, the Gemara's question is, Umani Mekayim Shmini Yimol Chutz Mishabbos, Talmud Lomar B'yom Afilu Mishabbos. So again, this is the Gemara's conclusion. The bottom line from this whole Gemara is that the whole point of this Gemara was to try and discover a source that Bris Mila is Docha Shabbos, and what seems to be the Gemara's conclusion is that we pass in like Rabbi Yochanan, which we quoted in the middle of the previous Amud, namely that the source that Mila is Docha Shabbos ultimately is derived from the word Bayom, Bayom Afilu Bishabbos. That is the Gemara's ultimate source, that Mila is Docha Shabbos. Okay, so the Gemara now continues. Tana Rabbanan. Mila Docha es atzaras bein bizmana bein shalo bizmana. Yantif eno Docha ela bizmana bilvat. So again, this kind of goes back to what we were just talking about before. The Gemara says that... What? Question?
Question, yeah. Whenever the Torah wants us to know that we can't do anything on Shabbos, even though... If you just tell us in the Torah, you do this, okay, but on Shabbos, remember, it's still a day of rest. Okay, but it never says that with Bris Mila. Okay, so, with Bris Mila, so wouldn't that assume that you would do it on Shabbos anyway? Because if the Torah didn't want us to do it, it usually would specify, but on Shabbos, remember, on Shabbos, you still cannot do these type of things.
Well, I mean, the thing is that, for the most part, the Torah doesn't really give us specifics in terms of any of the malachos, right? With the exception of, not lighting a fire and not carrying, none of the other 37 malachos are even mentioned by name in Chumash at all, right? The only way we even know about the malachos is because of a halacha l'Moshe Misinai, because of the Mishnah we had back on Daf Ayin Gimel. That's the way that we know about the other malachos in the first place. So it's not like the Torah is going to go out of its way and start telling you, and don't tie knots on Shabbos, and don't build walls on Shabbos. It just doesn't do that. So one could argue that if we already know that drawing blood is a malacha, which we do, so then you have to assume, in other words, the baseline, the starting assumption is that of course Mila should be usher on Shabbos. That's why we just spent an umud and a half trying to prove that it's mutter on Shabbos, right? If it was so obvious that it was mutter, we wouldn't have to spend all this time trying to find a source for it. Obviously, the assumption should have been that of course Mila should be usher on Shabbos. We have to dig up a pasuk to prove that it's actually mutter. That's the point of the Gemara. Okay, so the Gemara now points out again. The Gemara says that if a baby has tsaras on the makom hamila, so then the mitzvah of bris mila is docha the isser to cut tsaras, whether it's the eighth day or whether it's after the eighth day. However, if let's say the bris is going to be on yantif, so then the mila will only be docha yantif if it's on the eighth day itself. So the Gemara says minahani mila. How do we know that? The son of Rabban, and the pasuk says yimol b'saror laso va'afal pishiyishon b'heretz yikotz. Even though there's a negat saras on the makom hamila, you still have to cut it off. So the Gemara says umani mekayim hishomer b'negahat saras b'sharmer komus chotimila. How do I explain the pasuk in Parshas Kisetze that says that there's an isur d'oraisa for a person to cut away a negat saras on their skin? That obviously means on anywhere on their body aside from the makom hamila. So the Gemara says maybe not. Oh, eno ela. Maybe the Torah means to say that even if the tsaras on the makom hamila, it's still a problem to cut it away. Umani mekayim imo besaro laso bizman she'in ba baharis. And how would I interpret the pasuk that says that you have to give a mila on the flesh? That must mean when there's no tsaras. The Gemara says no, it's not true. Talmud lomar besar va'afal pi she'isham baharis. We learn from the extra, from the superfluous word besar, because the pasuk says, right, it says yimol besar or laso. Right, the word besar is superfluous. The pasuk could have just said yimol or laso, cut the foreskin. The fact that it has to throw in the word besar, the flesh of the foreskin, is coming to teach me that even if there's a negat saras on the makom hamila, you still have to do a bris mila even though you're also going to be cutting away the saras. So Amar Rava, haitana meikara my nechalei ulevasof my kashile. Again, Rava asks the same question that he asked before. He said, how come initially the Gemara was so comfortable saying that of course bris mila is dochat saras, and then all of a sudden the Gemara starts getting cold feet? Well, maybe it's not. Maybe the isser to cut saras is more severe. What was the hava mina? And what was the maskana of the Gemara? So Rava says Hachi Ka'amar Yimol Besar Or Laso Va'afal Pi Sheyesh Baharis. So again, the Gemara's starting point is that I give a bris mila even if I'm cutting away tsaras. Umani Mekayim Yishamer Benegat Tsaras B'Sharmer Komos Chotimila. Then how do I justify the fact that the Torah says don't cut away tsaras? That must mean any body part aside from the Makom Hamila. Avo Mila Docha Es Hatsaras, but the Makom Hamila itself is Docha the Isser of cutting away tsaras. My time up the Asim. Because I can derive that the fact that I'm allowed to, or perhaps even obligated to, cut away the makom hamila even when there's tsaras is derived from a kal v'chomer. What's the kal v'chomer? Uma Shabbos chamura mila docha osa Shabbos, which is so chamur, which is so strict, and yet bris mila on the eighth day, as we've already proven, is docha Shabbos. So then I would say tsaras lo kol shekain tsaras is significantly less chamor than Shabbos is. If Mila on the eighth day is docha Shabbos, then I would say a kal v'chomer, it should be docha the iser to cut away tzaras. The iser of cutting off tzaras is much less severe than violating Shabbos. If Mila on the eighth day is docha Shabbos, it should certainly be docha the iser to not cut away tzaras. So the Gemara says, okay, umay o eno de ka'amar. So then why was the Gemara going back and forth? Why did the Gemara think that maybe it should still be a problem to give a bris Mila when there's tzaras on the makom at Mila? The Gemara says, no, because hader ka'amar, mimay de Shabbos chamira, dilma tzaras chamira, shekein docha es avoda, va'avoda docha es Shabbos. Again, this goes back to our argument from the top of this Amud. Maybe it's not true. Maybe tzaras, in fact, is more severe than Shabbos is. Why would I think that? Because as we just proved in the previous part of the Gemara, tzaras is docha avoda. If a kohen has tzaras, he can't do avoda. And avoda is docha Shabbos because certain karbanos are still offered on Shabbos. So therefore, I might have argued that really tzaras is actually more severe. And maybe bris mila is not docha tzaras. The Gemara says, no. Tamad lomar bisar va'af al pi sheyesham baheres. Comes the Torah and teaches me from the extra word bisar, that even if there's a nega tzaras on the makom hamila, it will still be docha Shabbos. So that's one version of the Gemara. Yeah.
Every old baby have tzaras. I mean, I don't remember all the laws of tzaras, but
you're asking
the kohen have to look at it and put him away and do something 7 days later.
You're saying. Well. I mean, yeah. I mean, you're asking how could there be tzaras only on the eighth day? I mean, in theory, I guess the baby could be born with tzaras and then it would be at the end of its first week, and then if the Kohen determined that it was 100%, because in theory the Pasuk says that after a week, if the Kohen sees that it's starting to spread, that it is considered to be a real tzaras. So it's possible, if the baby got the tzaras on the first or second day of its life, then in theory, I guess that would be possible. Yeah, but I do agree that it's pretty unlikely, but you know, that's really not the point of the Gemara, yeah.
If a katan, forget 8 day, I'm a 9-year-old kid.
Yeah.
That person has to be put outside the camp and all.
Okay. Well, we're going to discuss the case of someone who's over the age of 8 days old, but not yet bar mitzvah. We're going to see that in the Gemara in a few minutes. We'll see that. Okay, so now the Gemara presents another version. Lishna Acharina, Mila Docha Tzaras. According to this version, Mila is Docha Tzaras. So if the baby has Tzaras on the Makom Mila, you give the Bris Mila anyway. My time. The Gemara now gives you a different reason. The Gemara now invokes the famous principle which appears primarily in the beginning of Maseches Yevamos, which is the idea known as Asei Docha Lo Sase, which means that whenever you have a clash between an Asei and a Lav that come up head to head, the Asei always wins out. Meaning, for our purposes, I have a mitzvah asay to give a bris milah. I have a losa asay to not cut off tzaras. So the mitzvah asay is going to win out. Now, why that principle is true is a whole discussion in the Rishonim, in the Yevamos, and the Ramban al Torah has a shot about that, but that's not really so relevant for our Gemara. So again, this version of the Gemara says the reason why I'm allowed to cut the tzaras off of the makom hamila is because of this new principle called asay docha losa asay. So then, what's the obvious question? Umayo eno de ka'amar. What was the other tzad? So then, if it's based on asay docha lo sasay, then why would I have thought? In other words, what was the hava amina to think that it should be a problem to give the bris mila then? So the Gemara says no, because hader ka'amar emar de amrina de asay asay v'dochi as lo sasay greda hay asay v'lo sasay. The Gemara says that notion, that idea, that asay docha lo sasay is assuming that it's just an asay versus just a lo sasay. But the problem is that the isser of cutting off tzaras is not just an is not just a losa asay. It's actually a combination of an asay and a losa asay together. Because if you look at Parshas Ki Tzeitzei, the Torah, when it formulates the isser of cutting off tzaras, not only formulates it as a negative commandment, but it would also be a violation of a positive commandment. So it's actually almost like two violations rolled in one. So the Gemara says that whenever you have what's called an asay and a losa asay together, that in fact is going to override a regular asay. So at this stage, the Gemara thinks, well, if Mila is just a regular asay and cutting tzaras is both an assay and a lav rolled together, so the Gemara says, so that would be a very good argument to say that's So the Torah says he shomer benega hatzaras l'shmor ma'od v'la'asos. I don't remember the whole pasuk exactly. Kechol asher yoru eschem ha'kohanim alvim kasher tzivisim tishmeru la'asos. So the end of the pasuk says the way they commanded you, you have to observe. You have to make sure. So the first half says don't cut it off, and then it says make sure you preserve whatever they tell you to do. So it's basically an asay and a lav rolled in one. Which if that's the case, the Gemara is saying, so then that's a very logical reason that really mila should not be docha tzaras. So the Gemara says
yeah. If you have an assay and a lo sasay,
yes,
and you can't get around that, you've almost, there's no time frame. You have to theory, the Tzaraas can go away. So why would we think...
I mean, yes, in theory, the Tzaraas could go away. But on the other hand, especially if it's the eighth day, the mitzvah of Milah is... again, you can argue that, you know, you could do the Milah whenever you want. But, you know, who knows? Who knows if the baby is going to... You know, how long the baby is going to live for, right? In other words, you can't plan for these things. So, and again, you also have no idea how long the Tzaraas is going to be here for. It's not anything that you can plan for. We're going to talk about that, the point you just made in a second in the Gemara. We'll get back to that in 1 second. So the Gemara says that we have... So the Hava Mina would have been that because Tzaraas is really an Asay and a Lav together, maybe it should be Docha the Mitzvah of Bris Milah. So the question then becomes, Umani Mekayim Yimo Besar Arlaso Bizman Shein Babahera. So I might have thought that the Mitzvah of Bris Milah only applies when there's no Tzaraas. So no, Tamad Lomar Besar Va'afal Pi Sheyisham Baheres. So no, you see from the extra word Besar that we keep on quoting, that even though there's a Nega Tzaraas on the baby, the Mitzvah of Milah still applies. So the Gemara says, okay, Tenach Gadol Dechsiv Behu Besar Kata Nami Ksiv Be Besar Bein and Imanol. This is the question that Billy was raising earlier, which is, okay, this explains an 8-day-old baby, and this explains a kid who's over 13 who doesn't have a bris milah, because in both of those contexts, the Torah uses the word besar as referring to their milah. But what about a kid who's over 8 days old, but not yet bar mitzvah? How do I know about his milah being dochet tzaraas? So the Gemara says, Amar Abaye Asya mi benaya, we learn that, the fact that the milah of, let's say, I don't know, of a 5-year-old, that we learn that from a combination of the milah of an 8-day-old baby and the milah of someone over the age of 13. Namely, migodolo asya shekina nishkaris. You can't only derive the milah for, let's say, a 5-year-old from someone who's already over bar mitzvah, because once you're over bar mitzvah, if you don't have a bris milah, every moment that you don't have a bris milah over bar mitzvah, you're chayav karis for that. It's one of the two mitzvahs asay for which you're chayav karis, the other being karban pesach. So because you're chayav karis, it's so severe, you have no right to extrapolate and to derive to a 5-year-old milah because he's not chayav in mitzvahs yet, so he's not chayav karis. On the other hand, mikotolo asya shekina milah bizmana. On the other hand, you also have no right to derive the milah of a 5-year-old from the milah of an 8-day-old baby, because the 8-day-old baby's milah is being done in the proper time, as opposed to the 5-year-old's who's not. So the Gemara says, Hatzara Shava Shebahen, Shekein Nimolin V'dochen Esat Saras, Avkol Shenimolin Dochen Esat Saras. The Gemara says, what's the common denominator? The common denominator between them is the fact that they require a bris milah at the end of the day, again, you know, regardless of their age, all of them require a bris milah. And since in the other two cases, the requirements of milah, namely for the 8-day-old and for the 13-plus-year-old, are dochet saras, so too the milah of the 5-year-old or the 8-year-old or the 10-year-old is also going to be dochet saras. That's according to Abaye. So in other words, according to Abaye, the source that the milah of a 5-year-old is dochet saras is derived from a combination of the milah for an 8-day-old baby and the milah for someone who's over the age of 13. However, Rava Amar, he says, no, Mila Bismana Docha Lotzri Chakra. He says that, so Rava says the fact that a Mila on the eighth day is Docha Tzaraas is obvious. You don't need a pasuk for that. Why? Because Mikal Vachomer Asi. We can derive that from a Kal Vachomer, namely, Uma Shabbos Dachamira Docha Tzaraas Lo Kol Shekein. If a Mila on the eighth day is Docha Shabbos being so severe, so chamor, then Kal Vachomer it should be Docha Tzaraas, which is significantly less severe, less chamor than Shabbos. So Amar Le Rav Safra Le Ravitz, Rav Safra pushes back. He says, Mimai De Shabbos Chamira. Again, the same question we keep on raising on the summit. Maybe in reality, Tzaraas is more severe than Shabbos, as we see from the fact that a Kohen who has Tzaraas can't do Avoda, and we know that Avoda in certain cases is Docha Shabbos, so I might have thought that really Tzaraas is actually more severe than Shabbos. Like Mar says, no, that's not true. Hasam lav mishum dachamira Tzaraas, elam mishum degavrahu delochazi. Again, the same idea we keep on quoting. It's not because Tzaraas is more severe than Shabbos, it's simply because a Kohen who has Tzaraas is just not allowed to do avoda. It's not because Tzaraas objectively is more severe than avoda or than Shabbos is. So the Gemara says, okay, amai v'yikot b'harto v'avoda. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. A Kohen who has Tzaraas, just tell him to cut off the Tzaraas and go and do avoda. Meaning, again, obviously normally we're not going to condone cutting off Tzaraas because it's an Isser Doraisa, but here, the fact that there's a mitzvah saseh of avoda going on, so why don't we say that mitzvah saseh of avoda should be docha the lo saseh of not cutting off Tzaraas. So the Gemara says, no, that's also not a viable option. Why? The Gemara says, because mechusar tevilahu, because even if he cuts off the tzaraas, he still is going to have to go to the mikvah before he can go and do avoda. So the Gemara says, okay, but tenach negayim temeim, negayim tehorim mayikol amemar. That's only true if the guy is a metzora who also happens to have a neged tzaras, which is tummy. Not all spots of tzaras make you tummy. Being a mitzora doesn't necessarily also mean that you're tummy. You have to have certain types of neged tzaras. If you look in Parashas Tazria, you see only certain shades of tzaras make you tummy. Others do not, but they can still qualify as tzaras. So what if you have a guy who has a tahor shade of tzaras? He's still a mitzora, but he's not tummy. So then he should be allowed to cut off the tahor neged tzaras because he doesn't have to go to the mikvah because he's not tummy at all. So that for him, he should be allowed to cut it off right and then go and do avoda. Why don't we say asay docha lo sase in that case? So the Gemara says, no, it's not true. Elo amar Rav Ashi, heicha amrina de asay asay vedochi lo sase, kigon mila bitzarasi nami tzitzis vichalayim, de v'idna de misakir lav, kamokim asay, hacha v'idna de misakir lav, lo kamokim asay. The Gemara says, this again is a very fundamental idea that's developed more in the Gemara in Yevamos, which is that this principle of asay docha lo sase, the notion that if I have a clash between an asay and a lav, that the asay wins out, is assuming that at the moment that I do the lav, I also fulfill the asay. So for example, the two classic examples that the Gemara gives here and the Gemara Nivamos gives is mila b'tzaras, our case, the case of giving a bris mila when there's tzaras there, and the other case is kelayim b'tzitzis. We know from the juxtaposition of psukim and parashas kiseitze that technically speaking, a person is permitted to wear a beged of tzitzis that's made out of shanis. For practical reasons, we don't do that today for a variety of reasons, but in theory, you would be allowed to wear a beged of tzitzis that's made out of shanis. But the thing is, in those two cases, at the moment that you violate the law, either of cutting off the tzaras or of wearing shanis, you're also fulfilling the mitzvah saseh of either bris mila or of wearing tzitzis. Here, in the case of the kohen who has a tahor nega tzaras, who wants to cut off the tzaras to then do avoda, those two things are not happening simultaneously. He cuts off the tzaras, and then 20 minutes later, he goes and does avoda. That is not called asay docha lo sase. The Gemara in Yevamos assumes that the principle of asay docha lo sase means that I'm doing one action, and within that one action, I violate a lav and do an asay, then the asay overrides the lav. But if it's not that case, yeah. What was that?
Yibum be an example of that.
How would Yibum be an example?
The asay is that you're having relations with your former brother's wife.
No, okay. So Yibum is a little bit different because the whole concept of Yibum is a tremendous Chiddush HaTorah. The whole idea, the whole notion that a woman who 5 minutes ago was an Isser D'Oraisa for you to have relations with now becomes actually a mitzvah for you to marry is kind of a crazy concept. So I'm not sure if you could bring any proofs from Yibum. Yibum, I think, is an exception. We're actually going to talk about Yibum a little bit next week, a little bit more. But I think that case is probably an exception to the rule more than a paradigm. Okay, so the Gemara now asks, "V'hadu Rava v'Rav Safra tanai." The Gemara points out that this machlokas between Rava and Rav Safra that we just quoted about whether it's so obvious that mila should be docha tzaras or whether it's not because maybe asay docha lo sase should not apply is actually a machlokas tanaim. D'sanya b'sar va'afal pi sheisham b'heres imol diver Rabbi Yoshia, Rabbi Yonasan Omer eno tzarech Shabbos chamura docha tzaras lo kol shekin. So again, according to Rabbi Yoshia, the source that mila is docha tzaras is a gzeras akasav, the extra word besar. Whereas according to Rabbi Yonasan, he says you don't need a pasuk for that. He says it's so obvious. He says if mila on the eighth day is docha Shabbos, then kal v'chomer it's going to be docha tzaras. So this machlokas is the exact same machlokas between Rav and Rav Safra. Do we say that it's intuitively obvious that mila is docha tzaras? Because of course it is. If mila is docha Shabbos, which is way more severe than tzaras, then it's certainly docha tzaras. Or maybe no. Maybe we need a pasuk, the word besar, to teach me that it's going to be docha tzaras.